We don't call this work our work, because we know that God is the one that gives the growth. We're only separate. This all we are servants, and we want to be that way. And so as you look through this, be sure you look to see where God is. I'm going to stand over here a little ways so I can show the slides. In John 4, verse 35, look what he says. "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white, all ready to the harvest." Now, it's a sad thing that here in America, we can't say that. But let me tell you something. I'm going to show you something tonight that is wonderful. In other places in the world, the fields are white. And we're trying to work with it. And I'll show you how we do that and what we've done. The whole thing is going to just be 37 months. It'll be from September of 2015 until September of 2018. 37 months. We have been missionaries for about 20 years. And we've worked with Bear Valley. Everybody know what Bear Valley is or something about it? Well, I taught with Bear Valley for the schools around the world. When I started, we had about 5 or 6 schools, and now it's got 28 schools around the world. And I taught in the schools for about 19 years. And Cindy went with me. We're a team. And when we'd go, we'd see things that we wanted to do or needed to be done. And then one time we went and we found out that we could get in with the Maasai tribe. And I'm going to talk to you about that in just a moment. Let's just start right now. We want to show what God can do. That's what Paul said. I planted, Olympus watered, but God was causing the growth. I'm going to Kenya. Now, let me show where Kenya is, if I can. There you go. Now, this is Africa. The red is where Kenya is. Just below that is Tanzania. We've worked a lot in Tanzania. We've also worked a lot on east of Africa, where that is, Kenya and Tanzania. And we also have worked on the worst side of Africa, down right in the bottom of that. So we've gone. Africa is probably one of our greatest things. Although we have been around the world and worked in other countries, this is one of our greatest help works that we think. Now, this is this is the country. Azer or something. Okay, well, let me show you what it is. That's Nathan. Now, if you look at there's Nairobi. That's the capital of Kenya. Below that, Tanzania. Now, I drew that right there in that area, and I want to tell you how much dirt that is. It's an area that is about 400 to maybe 500 long, and either 150 or maybe sometimes 200 miles across. Now that's where we're working. Now this is the Maasai people. Well, let me say this. This is Nathan. Nathan, he's a young man. He's a young Maasai young man. I'll bring him in just a few minutes and show you what he does. Let's talk about the landscape and the people. Now, here they are. This is the Maasai. The Maasai. Now, in Kenya, there is 78 tribes. And they all, in Kenya, they have places where they live. Now, the Maasai people live in that area that I showed you with that oval like that in there. I can't tell you how many acres it is, but it's miles and miles and miles. That's where the Maasai live and where we are working at this time. And look how they drive. These people are really, really in poverty, just terribly, but they don't know it. They just don't know it. They're just a wonderful group of people, and we've fallen in law with them, in love with them. But I want you to see how they dress. Now, this is some ladies, Maasai ladies. Now, they didn't go in and dress up for us this. This is what they do. This is what they go around in with. And they make everything. They make all the dresses, and they make all that stuff that's dressing around their stuff around their necks and all that. Now, they live in the bush. Have you ever heard about the bush? The brush and the bush, sometimes called, is like this. It's all in that area what I showed you. That's all it is. Now, what's in the bush? Well, there's wild animals. There's villages of Maasai. There are no McDonald's. there are no grocery stores. There's no gasoline places where you can gas up because they don't have cars. They walk everywhere. The Maasai people do. And so this is what we work with all in this. And I'm going to go show you some. Okay, this is another picture of something. This, and you can see the dirt and see what it is. It's a red dirt and all that. What do you think that is that I'm standing by? A what? That's right, termite. And that's a termite mountain, and they're all over the place, all over it. Now, keep that in your mind because I'm going to show you what we do have to do around to get around it. Now, let's just go. Here I'm going to show you. Now, this is, you see what you think is a road going up in there. But it's not. In that area, that opening, that there's a big valley, a huge valley, that going across it, like I told you, 200 miles, 150 miles, 70 miles, 60 miles, and different places. Now there's mountains on each side. Now when it rains, the water runs down off of the mountains and into the valley. And now you know what water when it starts running. Well, that's what that is. It looks like a road. But what it is, it's a trench where water came off of the mountains and just kept coming like that. So, well, we use it like that. There's not very many roads in the bush. But those things are, and that's wonderful. You can see, though, that the water has taken the dirt, pulled this out here and damaged all this. Now, again, I'm just going to go through here quickly, right quick, to show you what it looks like. It's a desolate place, but in further, it's got good people. Here we are. There's some sheep out there. Now, you see also another one of those water things, drainers that comes off the mountain right over here. Somebody says, well, that's a road. Well, it is. We use it as a road, but that's not what it, nobody put it there like that. Now, okay, here it is again. I'm just showing you the landscape. There's another one that looks like a road over there, but no, it's where the Rhine came down and came through there. There again is one more, another one. And we use them as roads. The government of Kenya will not go on the Maasai people into their land. They don't go in there and they don't take and work the roads or whatever you want to call it. No, they don't do it. If you get a big ditch in it or if your rain comes and it makes a big ditch, and it just stays there. It's just there. It's just that way. There's another shot of it. Now, those are the foot mountains up there. Be over that side are the big mountains. There you can see way in the distance the big mountains way over there. Now, here's how they live. This is a house, a mud hut. It is made with limbs taken off of the trees, about like that, and they weave them all the way around the house, and then they put rocks in there, and then they make a kind of concrete fine thing, like you'd say, and they take dirt and cow manure and water, and they mix all that up, and they take their hands and they smear it all over around the house. Now that's a house right there, and you can see it. It has the straw up on the house top of the top of it. There's another picture of one as well. This is the way they live. Now, to cook their food, they come outside and build a fire. And they do what they can do, eat what they can. This is it's two things really. It's where they bring their goats in at night from the wild animals. And also, if you look in the back up there, it's real high. Now, what they do is the families get together, and they can be 5 or 10, 15 families in what they call a buwan. And what that is a place where they go out and take the thorns and all kinds of things they can, anything they can get, a dead tree, anything, chop it up, and then they make a fence over that. And now right over here now, this is the gate right here, and over there they've got a gate on this because at night put the gate together and close the gate so the animals cannot get into their houses. Now, there's two seasons in Kenya, wet and dry. This one is the west one. This is wet. You can see it. That's our car. We bought a car to do work over there in Tanzania and Kenya. And so we were there this day, and we got in the time just over when the rain came in, and we got stuck. And of course, it's very easy, as you can see. You see, now we call it a road, but what is it? It's the water coming off the mountain, see, and but we can go along with it. Now, this is the dry time. Guess what? You can get stuck in the dry side. This is the bottom of a river, all it is, that it is, and it's sand, and the sand gets up this deep or more, and you just have to, if when you get stuck, you just got to stuck and get out. Well, we're trying to figure out what to do to get out of it. We got out of it. It's okay. What you'd have to do, we have a machete and we go out and we take the bushes and we take the trims and all that. We take that and put it under the tars of the car. And that's how we have to get it out. And we also push every time you have to. Now, the churches. Let's talk about the churches now. When we first started in September of 2015, these men we had, this is all the men we had to be evangelists. Now, let me talk to you about the history of the Maasai. They are probably one of the best tribes in Kenya of looking up to the heavens and call it God. Most of the tribes are not Christian, but the Maasai are. In the 1950s and 60s, some Church of Christ people came over and started working with there. Well, they worked there for a while and then they left. Then came the first part of 1980. Some more people came back and they started churches and congregations and everything. And that lasted until about, I'd say about 1990 or something like that. And it went away. The people came back to the States and just left the people there. Well, but guess what? This is a foundation for what we're doing, because there's a number of Maasai that know God, knows Him well. They've got a Bible. They are members of the church. And when we got there in 2015, they were worshiping in their houses and just out in the trees and so something like that. And so we certainly pulled that up, but it still goes that way. But anyway, I just want you to know we got these men, and so we got them and start training them, and we found out that they knew the Bible pretty good. And so we're happy about that. So this, we just started with 11 men to start establishing churches. Now, let me talk to you about Nathan. I got in with Nathan in 2015. He was on Facebook. Good. I don't even know what it is. I don't use it, as you can see. Well, he was asking people if he could get some money to build a church for his congregation, and I was in East Texas and. On Sunday, and I finished giving them a report, and a lady came out and said, "Ralph, I need to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." And she told me about Nathan. He says he is trying to get money to build a church building. "What can I do?" She said, "Can I just take my money and just send it over?" And I said, "No, you don't do that." I said, "I will go and find him." And so, making it quick, what I found out was we have a school, Bear Valley has a school in Arusha, Tanzania, and I'd been teaching there for a number of years, and Nathan was in that school. Now, he had already graduated with a diploma from the Nairobi University as a CPA. But when he got out, he says, "I don't want to be a CBA. I want to go back to my people and teach them the gospel." And so I found him, talked him, We set up a program, and that's where he comes in. He is a wonderful young man. He's 29 years old now. And I tell you what a preacher he is. He can just spit the Bible out just like this. He's just wonderful. He knows the Bible. He knows what to do. And he's the leader over there. He's the one I work with over there. And he works with all the people with them. And I work with him. Now, let's go on. Now, his congregation was the Lebo congregation. And he had baptized about 125 or 30 people, and they were out under the trees like this. And so he said, I want you to go with me and go and look, see my congregation. So we did, and we worshiped under the trees and everything. We got the money, and we built the first building. This is the first building that we built in 2015. In this work. And that's the Lebo congregation. Here's some pictures of them. That's Nathan right over here on this side. I think I counted those people. There's somewhere around about 65 people in there. And that's probably what he had at that time. And so we got the building built, and here's another congregation that we began. And then I want to tell you about this. We started building buildings with blocks that had been cut out of the mountains. And we started building church buildings. And we can build one that's 24 feet long and 22 feet wide. And that's enough, and with a floor and with a metal roof of it for $3,400. That's $5 a square. Now, we found out that we couldn't have enough money to keep going, so we decided to do this, the pole church. But I told you a while ago about when you saw the termites. We couldn't use wood to go into the ground, so what we've done, we've got seven of these, and what we did, we had a foundation, and we built them like this, like that, so that when we get the money, we'll come back and get the blocks, and then we'll just block them in, and then we'll still have a building. You see how easy that is. Okay. Just sharing that with you. The congregations, too, are worshiping every day at that time. Our main goal is to plant congregations from September to 2015 to September of 2018. 49 congregations now have been established. 49. Now remember, that's 38 mounts. And so here we have with 49 congregations that have been established. 3,600 souls have been added to the church in those months. Now, that, if you think about it, it's somewhere around 80 to 100 people every month that we've done while we're working here. So that's good. We're going to keep doing this. The Maasai tribe. The government says that in that tribe there is 1.5 million people. How about that? We've just touched the hem of the garment. That's all. But look what has happened. Now, we now have done, we've established the elementary school. And this is our first one now. We have three grades in this. Now, we have to work of what the government says. But they say you can have your religion. We don't care. Just do what we say about the school. That's good. Well, they give us books and so things like this, you know, and so that's good. So here's one of our schools. There's about 75 students in this one right now, grades 1, 2, and then a first grade. What they have is a different way than what we have over here. They start them out at about 4 years old, and then 5 years old, and then they get them in 6 in the first grade. And that's how they do it. And that's a good thing. It's very good. Now, this is Moses. He is a member of the church, and he is the principal of this school, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man. He's had over 20 years working in the government, in the schools of the government of Kenya. And now he's come to us, and he said, I want to work with you. I want to be within this in his Christian children, Christian children. He's a wonderful man. He's very educated, very, very good man. Here we are, just shots of them. This is one of the classes. I think that's probably the second one. The first one is got smaller children, but I think this is the second one. And some of the families had come over there when they put them in the school. Now, this is just a picture of a lady that came over with us in September. And she came over to teach the Bible to the people, the children. Well, the children get the Bible every day. Every day. Every one of them do. But she wanted to do it, so we let her come over and teach him. So she's going to be coming back several times. She loves to do it. Now, we have 3 elementary schools, and we'll be opening another one just soon. So that will give us 4 elementary schools. Now that's important because if we had not have done this, the children could never have an education. Because in the bush, there are no schools. Not of ours, just ours. And so that's why we started with this. And now we've got the parents to coming in. And we're bringing them into the church. And also then, the second thing we did, we established a Christian children's home. If you look at those 2 words at the top, that's my side words, but they are Living Hope Children Christian's Home. Here's our building. We got that built, and we've got 41 little orphans in there. And we'll still have some more. We're going to have some more orphan homes in the area, I know there's lots of orphans in all that area where we are. 405 that long and 200. It's got to be some. This just shows them up on the sea. Now, this looks at some of the little boys for the children's home. These are some of the little girls. Now, we have a lady, Peggy Finch. She lives in Tennessee, and she called me one day, and she said, Brother Ralph, she said, my name is Peggy Finch, and I heard about you, and she said, I make clothes for children that need clothes, brand new ones. And she said, I'd like to send it to you and let you take some of these things that I do over there and give them to the children. And I said, we can do that. And so she does the whole thing. She pays for the linen or the material. She pays for sending it to us. And everything. So all we have to do is get her box, and when she sends it, and then we take it over and we give it to them. There they are. All those little dresses on the front is Peggy's work She's a wonderful woman, and she's still working with us. Boy, howdy. Now, three children, these three children, we took a picture of them because there was a lady in the States that wanted to support the children. Well, we said, you can do that. And we can do it. The children there can be supported by $25 a month. All of our little kids can. And so these we just want to show you that the three children are being supported. And we've got some other people that are calling us and saying they want to do that, but they haven't got back to us. Now also, the medical clinic. In the bush, what's there? I just told you, didn't I? There are no clinics, were no clinics, or hospitals, or anything. If anything happened to any person in there, they'd have to walk miles, miles and miles. The first hospital from the bush where we work is 2.5 hours with a car, in a car. Well, these people don't have cars. They walk everywhere. So I decided that we would try to build a clinic, a medical clinic. And this is it. There it is. That's our first one. It's not our last one. We're going to have several others. And this is the medical. And by the way, the government gives us the medicine. The only thing they don't give us is the medicine that's snake bite and all those kind of things. Those are we have to pay that, but it's not that big deal. But we have to pay for that. But otherwise, everything is provided for us, and they also want us to keep going. Here's our doctors. On this other side over here is William. And William is the doctor. This is our nurse over here on this side. William, both of these men are members of the church and also preach for us. And William over there was working in a hospital in Nairobi, and he found out about us and he came down to help us. He said, I want to come down to help you. And he's been a doctor for 9.5 hours. Years, I think is what I think he said. 9.5 years, I believe. And he's very, very smart, very, very good man. By the way, the clinic is supporting itself already. We don't have to put money into it. We don't put money into the elementary school either because of the tuition. The tuition isn't very much. But it's enough to give it to the teachers and get what we need to keep the school going. Now, this is an abandoned government building there. They called us and they told us about this building. And they said, if you want to use that and make another a clinic, we will let you use it. You don't have to pay anything for it. You can take it as long as you want. Well, we're going to do that. So this is going to be our next clinic, and so that other people can get the opportunities when they're sick. Now we have the Maasai Bible Institute and Vocational College. Is our first class. They came in this last January. They will go 2 years, and they are already working every weekend. These men leave the school at noon on Friday. They go to their congregations where they are, the area where they are, and they start teaching and preaching around the world in that area, and then they preach on teach Sunday, and then they come back and go to school. So we have a very good group of men. That's very good. This is something that's interesting. We were going, some of our people, Nathan and some of the students, were going out into the bunch and to get to these people. And when they got there, they were predominantly Baptist. But after being taught by Nathan and other evangelists, most of them were converting to the church, large church. And by the way, in those months that I talked to you about, we have converted 15 denominational preachers and brought them into the church. And they are in the school right now. And so we're proud about that. And we're great. We think it's such a wonderful thing. In attention to the students at the preacher's school, 36 other men meet on two Saturdays a month for biblical studies and training and advantages. Now, we have what this is. This is going to be our second class that comes in. Now, these men were not ready for the first one. They didn't have what they needed, the Bible and so on. So, we set them on in every month two Saturdays out of each month. They come together and they teach all day on that Saturday, and they're getting ready to go into the school in another 2 years ago from now. The guest house. Well, okay, look at what thing this is. We want to bring members of the church, good preachers, over to there to teach and preach to our people. We have good teachers in the school already, and they're natives. We have four men, and of those four men, three of them have their masters of the Bible from Bavarelli, and the other fourth one is running. He's almost finished with his master. So we'll have four good masterpiece men teaching, and they're doing right now. But we'd like to bring people over. And so, again, what's in the bush? Nothing. Now, if we brought somebody over like a preacher, we'd have no place to put him. There's nothing there. The closest motel is what? About 2.5 hours with a car. So we'd have to go and bring them back the next morning, take them that evening, come back that morning. So we decided we would build a guest house. Now this is what we're going up to the guest house. There they are. There it is, right up. Here it is. This is it. It has four bedrooms, a good kitchen, two restrooms, and it's wonderful. It's just this is where our teachers from the churches in America would stay, because that's where the school is. Now, other things that we do among the Maasai. Cindy teaches the women. I'm going to show you some pictures after this. This will just let me run through these things. Cindy teaches the women. Ralph raises funds for the work. That's what we do. We are doing what we do right now. We try to get churches to come and help us. We build churches. We got to have money to build churches. We've got to have money to support the students that in the preaching school. We pay every student $35 a month. And that gives them money to go back home and also to have what they need. We support them with food at the school and $35. We also support other evangelists. Right now, we have 41 men that are evangelists. Now, we have 49 congregations. Somebody's got to do two, and some of them do. We've got evangelists that go two times. They go on Sunday to two congregations. Now, the famine, that's something. There's a famine in Kenya every year. And when it comes, it is bad. There's no water. The cattle die. The people die. It's just terrible. So we have famine relief where we can get food to people, even if they're not Christians. We go into the villages and give them food so that they won't die. And guess what happens? When we go in and do that, they want to study with us. And that's good. That's what we want to do. And so we use that as a way of reaching people. Purchasing Bibles. The Maasai has a Bible, and it costs $3 for one built Bible. Now we purchase motorbikes for the evangelist. Now I told you about, I showed you the bush. Cars sometimes cannot go there. Well, a motorbike can, because they can get through the places like that. So we have now about 28 or maybe 29 motorbikes for our evangelists. Some evangelists, they live close to the congregation that they're, the church building that they're working with, so they don't need one. Now, we also raise funds to provide some funds for travel and food for meetings from the Maasai Christians. Now, what I'm saying about like that, our men go out on the end sometime, and they go into the villages and they stay there for a month, for two or three weeks or something. They have to have some money, so we have to get them some money for them to live while they're there. We visit villages to teach. We visit congregations to encourage them to remain faithful. We take clothes to the children's home sewn by women in the States. Now, here's Cindy. Here she is. This was in June of 2017. She teaches the ladies, and we're going back in November, and she's going to have another one like this. She, every time she goes, she tries to teach the journey, and we're going to show you something. This we're going to show you a journey to teach a woman's class. When we were in over there in September, was it September? No, it was June. It was in June. We got a call, and one way up in those mountains up there, there's a village. And they called and asked if Cindy would come and teach the ladies the Bible. We said, sure, we'll do that. Okay, so we started out. Now see, this is not a road. That's sand coming down with the water from the hills. But here our rover got stuck. So we got it finally got it out, but we couldn't go any further with it. So we all three, Nathan, me, and Cindy, started to work probably about a mile or more to go all the way up in those mountains so we can get into the village. When we got up there, this is the first building that they brought us in. Now, let me tell you about these people. They are so hospitable. You can't think about it. The first thing you do when they see you coming, they come to you and they have their hands out to you, and they grace your hands, and then they hug you, and then they take you, come in, have some tea. They like tea. They like tea with a lot of sugar. and a lot of goat milk. And it's good. It's really good. It really is. But you can't get away from it. Every time you walk into a village, the first thing they do is come sit here, we get tea. We get tea. We sit and talk and drink tea. Well, that's one way, that's the other. Then also then they when you finish the tea, you get food. Rice and beans, or beans and rice, whichever way you want to go. But that's what they have. And that's what we live on when we go there. Now, here it is. This is an area where this village is worshiping right in here. So we went for the place where that's happening, and Cindy was teaching the ladies there. Here's another one of those houses I was telling you about it. The man is preparing the rice and the beans for our lunch. So he's got out there and he built a fire. Okay, he took the beans and he took the rice and he was working on that and the fire was getting pretty high, and I said, I think your fire is too hot. I think you're going to burn the rice. He had a little English. He said, no, I'm okay. He did, though. He burnt the rice. Well, you know what happened? That rice was eaten with those people. They do not waste anything. Not anything at all. Now, when we were going here, it took us 2 hours to go, I would say probably 15 miles, something like that. We don't know how far it was, but it wasn't very far, but it took us long to get there. Because when you go all that bush and everything, sometimes you have to back up, turn around, go a place this way, get over here, do whatever you can get through. So we got through, and now we're getting ready to go back home, and that's just going down. Now, this is a river, the river bed right there. It would be full of water in the wet time. Now, we visiting God congregations and the villages. When we go, we take Nathan and I, and sometimes Cindy goes, and sometimes some of the evangelists go, and we go to the villages. And we visit with them and talk to them. Now here's Nathan preaching of one of our new congregations. Now I think most of these are most of our congregations as of right now. We're going to have to get some buildings built. Here's another congregation. Here's another congregation under trees. This is another congregation, and this man right here is one of our evangelists that's standing out there in those khaki pants, teaching. There's me and Nathan. That's another congregation. Now, this congregation has the building. That's the same one. Now, family relief. Here we are. We set this up because we wanted people to be able to get food and not die in the famine. So here it is. Here it is. We've got the whole thing that we can take out, and we set them down. We go to where it has to be. Our evangelists do this. Now, this man right here is Nathan's father. He's a preacher. And he is a wonderful God. Wonderful, wonderful man. He preaches like everything. There's a cow. That's how the cows get. And they die like that. See that? They can't find anything to eat or any water. Now here's the motorbikes. Just show you this right quick. That's Nathan's father, Daniel. On his motorbike. He preaches every Sunday. In addition to spreading the gospel, our goal is to keep the Maasai become self-supporting. Now, I want you to look at this part right here. Cindy and I believe in self-supporting. We don't tell somebody something that we wouldn't do. We do not take any money from the church in our work. We support ourselves. God gave us a way to where we could have money for our bills and our house, whatever we need. So we don't take money for ourselves from the church. And so we're teaching these people now to be self-supporting, because I tell them every time, one of these days the money from America is going to dry up and you won't be able to go. And so how do we do it? Okay, let me show you what we're doing now. Efforts towards self-support. First of all, we grow food. We have bought some land, we have purchased it, and to grow crops, corn, beans, anything, tomatoes, anything we can that they can do it. We've got that now, and it's been plowed, and I'll show you pictures of it in a minute. And also now, something that's really, really important. Water. You remember the water situation? No water? We now have wells. The people called Healing Hands have come over, and I think they've drilled us at least five wells. And one of them is on this place where we are working right here to grow food. It's going to have an irrigation system. In other words, the drip. You figure with the drip thing, you know? Well, we're going to have that. And I'll show you some of the other things in just a minute. Livestock, we've purchased. We have 144 cows and two bulls now. We've been building this oak over the last 3 years. And we're getting to the point where we're going to be able to take these cattle to the market, just like we do over here. You know, you take cows and you sell them. Then you take calves, you buy calves, come back, you know, braise them up and just start like that. Well, we're going to start doing that. Then we have those cattle. Then we're building a barn to shelter dairy cows for milk. I'll show a picture of it in a few minutes. This will provide milk for the preaching school and the children's home. Surplus milk will be sold to the public. A chicken house. Yes, we've got that. And the chickens have already laid egg right now. And so, but whatever surplus eggs we have will be sold to make money. And then the beekeeping. We're getting into the beekeeping in this next week or next month. Now, we do this for teaching them, you've got to self-support yourself. You've just got to. That's the only thing. Because if Cindy and I just stepped up and took off, took the money, guess what will happen? Everything will fall down. There's no money, you see. So we don't want that to do. So we're going to work till this is working. And I know it's going to work because other places it's working. And I've read about them, and I know people that are doing it. And we've got men that are helping us now. Now, here's the last bunch of ground we've got. This has already been planted with corn. And that's looking at the same thing. See the mountains up on the back?